especially this morning, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are such a relational God. And Lord, your word is such relational. Lord, you put it down. You put your thoughts into words, your heart into words that we can read and know how you want to relate to us and so many others. We ask you, bless Randy now in the name of Jesus. Let your grace come even more as we listen and hear and as Randy speaks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ooh, I got 10 minutes. I'm going to attempt to keep this with us not going real long. I think I might just tear the message out and just continue in the same vein and attitude. You know, I'm really having trouble this morning, okay, with my emotions. This is really moving service to me. We don't have no Kleenex, so if anybody finds a box of Kleenex. Oh, I'm the only one. Oh, I get the only one. Good. I might need it. So this whole, you know, everything, Elias, everything you picked the songs, it was unbelievable. I've wrestled with this kind of word. I want to talk about a little bit about relational stuff and some stuff. And I can't really come and share this with some other people. And the look is usually, well, you know, Alzheimer's or something early setting in. But anyways, there's a whole lot of stuff packaged up, so I might just try to use 15 minutes and share this with you. Amidst what's been happening, this is just really pure testimony stuff. For those that are visiting, this is not usually the speaker, so I'm scared of what this place is like. And you wouldn't know that I've had some employment issues. I went to work in a little truck place a couple of years ago. Worked all my life industrial, made real good money, and all the things, the trappings that come with that, all the stuff that goes with that, the security and the peace that comes, that sometimes keeps your eyes off God, because you can look at you get a paycheck every week and life's grand. And I was brought to a place where I worked for minimum wage, and I thank the Lord that he took Dave there one day to look at the place. So when I tell you how nasty it was, Dave can testify that it was. And it was, but they were lovely, good people. God humbled me, and he taught me, and he surrounded me with some really nice people in a nasty place. And so I learned some lessons there. So out of that, since I've been re-employed by my previous employer, and when I went back, I said, you know, God, I don't believe this is all just about the coin. I don't think that you're a gracious God, you're a giver, and you bless your children, but I can't believe that this is all making a living. There's got to be purpose beyond that, and so I've been seeking after that. And so there's a whole series of little events come. They do tie in, and I'm not sure if I can put them together, but a couple weeks ago, I was getting out of my car in the parking lot, and my boss, who knows I'm a baseball fan, stopped me, and he said, hey, I got a ticket for the Fergie Jenkins charity auction, wine and cheese tonight. Now, it's not talking Greek to everybody, right? Nobody knows who Fergie Jenkins is. Nobody cares. But I do, all right? I do. Love, yeah, Mike knows. Okay, yeah. So a few people know. Well, I'm going to go deeper, and I'm guessing most don't know. I love baseball. I have been obsessed obsessed and, you know, it's like birthed into me this. Oh, sorry, I'm not talking to Mike. Anyways, my life has been this obsession of baseball. I say at work all the time, guys are doing crossword puzzles, and it's guaranteed. They'll yell, hey, brother, who was the catcher on the Minnesota Twins in 1965? And I'll say, yeah, it was Earl Batty, you know. And, well, thanks, brother. And so I got these goofy things about baseball. So this guy stops and says, I got a ticket, Fergie Jenkins, wine and cheese, right? And so you got to understand, it's Thursday, and I'm kind of tired, and I didn't feel like going. I didn't actually even want to go to this thing. Even though it's all this baseball stuff, I thought, oh, man, you know what? That means I got to go home and shave, and I don't shave all week, right, because I'm just lazy. And I got to get cleaned up, and you know what? I don't like wine, and I don't like cheese. And as strange as it seems to everybody, I'm a bit of an introvert. I really don't mix well. This is very easy for me. Getting in a smaller crowd of people and having to actually talk to them is difficult. I don't like it. So I thought, I'm going to get stuck in this place. None of this is working for me. You know, all in the end, you know, maybe I see Fergie Jenkins. Yeah, Fergie Jenkins. I've seen him before, right? So I was stewing over this at work. I'm thinking, oh man, I'm gonna have to go. My boss gave me the ticket. I can't offend the man, right? He was good to me. That was kind, right? And I'm trying to make bridge in the, and I'm gonna get to this sooner or later. That I do. I'm trying to make a bridge within the workforce. Yeah. You know, honor people, be kind to them, be nice to them, show them I'm different than most of the rest of them in the place. So. Anyways, I eventually went online and I looked at who's the guests at this thing. Maybe this will help, right? So I looked at the guests and I go down the line. Oh, I know that guy. And oh, man, you wouldn't believe this. There was a guy on there and his name is Art Shamsky. And I don't know that anybody in the world knows who Art Shamsky is unless you're me and my ilk, right? Art Shamsky is this guy that... baseball parlance, he had a cup of coffee in the major leagues. He played very short time in the big leagues. He wasn't any kind of superstar. Nothing about him that was really appealing as a baseball player. But when we were kids, we used to attach ourselves to these kind of guys. You know, what's called the 25th man on the roster, that sort of thing. And we loved the Art Shamskys of the world. Art Shamsky was my favorite Cincinnati Red, the first guy I ever took on as, you know, a little 12-year-old kid that I want to be Art Shamsky when we play baseball. And he was on the list. So I said, you know what, I guess I got to go because I got this chance to meet Art Shamsky, right? Now, I know you're already looking weird at me. I'm you know, a 63-year-old man. Like, who wants to meet Art Shamsky? This is just this goofy little passion within me. And I was excited. Spent the day thinking, well, you know, this is worth shaving for. I can meet Art Shamsky. Had to drive up to St. Catherine, some vineyard, Rockaway Vineyards, very nice place. Everything about it was very nice. I got there and, you know, in the door, and the guy says, there's some programs here. You get autographs if you want, and $10 for the program. And I ponied up the $10 because I'm, you know, spirit of cheap on me when I go, and I don't want to pay no money for this stuff, right? But I'll give you the $10 for it. I got a free ticket anyways, right? And the guy says, oh, you can get autographs. And I said, I'm a 63-year-old man. I'm getting autographs. Like, come on, give me a break. I'm just here because my boss gave me the ticket, blah, blah, blah. And with that, I walk and turn and walk, and from here to the end of the chair stands Art Shamsky. And I actually had to go online and look up what he looked like, because in 1966, when I was an Art Shamsky fan, I couldn't even see him on TV. There wasn't, you know, you young fellows will never imagine this. There was one baseball game a week on a Saturday afternoon. The Reds finished in seventh place in the league. Nobody wanted to see the Cincinnati Reds except me. And so I didn't even know what Art Shamsky looked like. So I went online, they had a picture, and he was an elderly man, he's in his 70s, and I got the picture, so I turn around looking, Art Shamsky was standing right there. Right, you know, and nobody talking to him, because probably nobody would, because nobody knew who he was, right? And I went over, and I'm pretty cool, right? I got my program, and it's, you know, and I got over about this close, and there's Art Shamsky, and all of a sudden, the 12-year-old kid jumped out of me. And I was, oh, Mr. Shamsky! And I was shaking his head, and I'm pumping it like an old well, you know, pumping it. And this poor guy's, you know, looking at me kind of odd, and I says, oh, you know, it's so nice to meet you, you know, I'm a big Reds fan, and he says, oh, would you like me to sign that program? And oh, yeah, an autograph, yeah. So I gives him the program, and he starts signing the program, and as he's signing, the 12-year-old jumps out again, right? I remember Mr. Shamsky back in 66, you hit 21 home runs, and you play for the Reds, and you know, and the guy just looked over, I'm telling you, this is the weirdest thing, and it already is, but it's even more. I felt, you know, at that moment, I actually wanted to ask him if he knew Jesus. I mean, I was so excited, and he was being so kind to me, and I just thought, I gotta have something for this guy, right? And so, eventually, he shook my hand, and he said, thank you for the kind words, right? And I walked away, and I thought, this is even better, because he's a nice man. Like, you know, because I went into the next room and there was another Cincinnati Red and I said, hey, can I get your autograph? Because now the fanboy's already, like, I've lost it. I might as well get him signed, right? And this guy was kind of having a beer and was just kind of aloof and said, yeah, sure, here you go. And, you know, kind of threw it at me. And I ain't that big a fan of yours anyways. You know? I got the autograph. But I tell you this story because we've been having this whole idea of the mercy and the greatness and the goodness of God, okay? Yeah. And I was so excited. I don't understand this because I never dreamt of getting Art Shamsky's. I didn't even care. But when this thing come, all of a sudden this little 12-year-old boy jumped out. And I got so excited about this. And I went home and I told Maddie and I told Jared. And they looked at me goofy like, what's the matter with Randy? Right? And I told Diane and she kind of only got a little bit of it because she knows I like baseball. But in the week, I kept saying, God, why is this so important? Why is this such a big deal? I can't get it. And all I kept getting back was, you know, the pure goodness of God. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure if I can explain this to you. But in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I don't do that. And so when I woke up, I couldn't get back to sleep, and I thought, I'm going to ask God again, what is this? Why am I so excited about Art Shamsky's autograph? I'll probably put it on the desk and not really look at it a whole lot more times. But in all of that, I feel like God spoke to me about the fact that he knows me that intimately. And he cares about all that in that intimate a manner. That Art Shamsky would be a big deal. But you know the best thing about it was that I felt like that little 12-year-old boy. There's a lot of stuff that happened to that little 12-year-old boy. You know, my dad died, and I had all these issues of self-esteem, and I got a weird name, so that isn't easy in school and everywhere else, and I was left with that. You don't know what, like, I can't tell you what that's like. Walk through life, and I got nowhere to go with that stuff, and my mom did the best she could. A little 12-year-old boy at 63, I thought I had dealt with all of that. And it seemed to me like it wasn't just in that instance with Art Shamsky, the little 12-year-old boy jumped out, but it was an instance with God where he said, I want to fix some stuff. Yeah. I want to deal with some stuff in a 12-year-old boy's heart. And also, I felt like, you know, the weirdest thing, I don't know if God speaks like this or whether it was just me, but I felt like God said, Randy, I know that you know who the second baseman for the 1945 Tigers was, but you don't know who all 12 disciples were. You couldn't name them. And he said, it's okay, because I still love you. Not that I don't want you to learn the 12 disciples' names and be able to, you know, recite them. But he said, but I still love you, you know. You won't understand the times I've spent thinking I've wasted time, this baseball thing, you know, I'm obsessed with it, and it's been wasted time, and that God might be a little bit unhappy with me because maybe I should have been reading my Bible, or maybe I should have been out serving the community in a different manner, and, you know, maybe I should have, but somehow God came in that place, and he said to me, you know what, I still love you. Yeah. I still embrace and care for you, and it's okay, you know what? I'm going to let you meet Art Shamsky just to let you know that it's okay that you like baseball. It's all right that you are a baseball fan. So having said that, I still got a few minutes. Oh, baby. I want to tell you there's a second part to this testimony, and this actually happened before this. And about 2 years ago when I was still working at Inland Truck and Trailer, this little place isn't so... You know, it wasn't my first choice as an employer. I had a dream one night. And the dream was simply that I was working in a little office, right? And, you know, it was a small office. And it wasn't real clear. You ever get those... I took medication years ago, started taking medication for my heart, and I started dreaming more vividly. So I get all kinds of dreams, and sometimes really hard to weigh what's a real dream and what's just drug-induced, as it were. And so somehow this stuck with me, though, this dream. And I was in this little office, and there wasn't a whole lot to it, except that I remember pushing away from a table and some guy going out of the office saying, hey, thanks a lot, pal, that was great. And somebody else come in, and there was no real exchange here. I didn't see me giving them anything, but the guy went out and said, hey, man, that's great. Thanks a lot. Oh, you're the best. You know, that kind of thing. And I come out of this dream, and I'm working at this place, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm 60 years old or so. Must be some retirement thing. I mean, I really think it was God. I was thinking, I think God's showing me, like, retirement. You know, I'm going to go work in a food bank, or, you know, I'm going to give away money, somebody else's, because I don't have any. But, you know, because that's what people are happy, right? They're, hey, you're the best when you give them money in some place, like an employment office. I don't know. I didn't really put it all together. I didn't really think much about it. Every once in a while, this thing would come to my mind. I wonder where I'm going to get that little office and, you know, just be nice to people. So I was at work a few weeks ago, and some guy come in, and now I don't know about you again. This happened to me on occasion. This dream just seemed to, like, come out in the flesh, right? And I never did know who the guy was, but this guy from work came in, and he said something about, I need this part, and do you know where it is? And I said, oh, sure, brother. And I was busy. I was doing something. And I said, oh, I'll get off the desk, and I'll come help you. And this guy said, oh, really? Boy, that would be great. I said, well, it's not such a big deal. He said, well, the guy that worked in this office before you, his pat answer was, ain't going to happen today. That's how he treated them, right? Like, if they asked him for something, he'd just say, ain't going to happen today. And I just said, you know, I'm going to help you. And the guy said, hey, thanks a lot. And then, you know, a couple minutes later, a truck driver come in. Now, again, you got to understand the culture I live in. Dave understands. Dave's the truck driver. If it was Dave, I'd have to treat him nicely because he's a brother, right? But in most of these industrial settings, or at least the ones I've worked in, truck drivers come in and they're like, they're like another chunk of steel in the shop. Like, they have no personality. They're nothing. They're just a tool, or they're something. No, I'm saying in general, this is how they're treated. I'm not saying I do that. It's not that I do that, or maybe I have at times. You know, it's just these guys come in, and really nobody caters to them. They can stand around at a door for 5-10 minutes, and people will walk by them, you know, about their business, doing whatever they got to do, and not caring that the poor guy doesn't know which way's up, right? And I've done that job, too. I've gone in places, and guys just, you know, they look at you, and, you know, what's this guy doing here? Well, none of my business. I got a job, you know. It's to go get a donut and a free coffee out of the lunchroom, but, you know, I don't care, right? And so, you know, I tend to try to really be sensitive to this and deal with these guys with, you know, treat them like human beings, right? What do you need? What could I help you with? That sort of thing. Anyways, having said that, yeah, so that's why, you know, people in the industrial era, most of these guys don't help one another out at all. They're really trying to, I'm really trying to be kind because I'm trying to work something new in my workplace. And when this happened, though, with the office thing, and these two guys come in, and, like, right at one after the other, it was like this dream came to life to me. This thing about helping people and being kind and just them saying thank you. And so I started asking God a little bit about it. And about the same time, I read this passage in Exodus. And it was when Moses, it said Moses had his staff, and he was going before God and said, what am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, make the people of Israel listen to me? Right? And he said, well, throw your staff down. And look, there's a snake, and you're going to grab him by the tail. And you know, he said to Moses, what's that in your hand? Okay, so I was reading that passage. And about that time, I started remembering this dream and the thing in the office, and God spoke to me at that point about a passage in Romans 12 and 10 that says to love one another and in honor preferring one another, right? And I really got struck by that these two things go together. I know I'm babbling a little bit, but they really do go together when I started asking God what this was. Because, you know, I've always thought, I got to make change in this workplace. I got to do something that affects change in this place. And so what I think I need to do is find some guy with a bad back and run over and lay hands on him, watch him get healed, right? Or maybe even better, they send one of these big transformers in that's damaged, and I'll lay hands on it, and it'll get fixed, and they'll send it down there and say, what happened? Nothing wrong with this. And there'll be this mighty and powerful act of God will happen, right? And, you know, you think I'm joking. I'm just figuring, these guys ain't going to believe nothing until they see something miraculous, right? And it just hasn't manifested. I'll be honest with you, it just hasn't happened. I pray for guys, I do things, I believe for it, and it hasn't happened. But you know what? All of a sudden, God said to me, that passage just jumped out of the page at me. What's that in your hand? And then at the same time came the little office picture and God saying, preferring in honor one over another. And it came together for me as what's in my hand might not be those great power gifts, because you know that's also a place I know God's been talking to me about. It's almost sometimes I've struggled. That little 12-year-old boy and on beyond was never really thought very highly of. So I've wrestled and fought and always thought if I could have these power gifts, if I could be this great saint of the church, everybody'd love me, right? Everybody, you know, they'd be in awe of you, within the church, within the community. And I've wrestled to want to have those things. And all of a sudden, something gripped me that said, what's that in your hand? And what's that in your hand? And it's not necessarily a great power gift, but it may be that you love some people and you honor them in a way they've never been honored before. That you'd prefer some people. You'd prefer some people who don't actually deserve it. Don't actually earn it. Don't even reciprocate to you in it. But that you would show them. Because what it said in the story to Moses is he didn't say, grab that snake by the tail and watch your staff turn back and forth from a snake, that everyone will see how powerful you are. It said so that the people would see that you know God. That God has appeared to you. Do you know how releasing this was to me? I thought, I can do this. It still isn't easy, but I could do this. Yeah. I'm not caught in this place of having to lay hands and see things happen and then get frustrated because it doesn't happen and think, oh, I don't have any anointing on me. I just have to be kind to people in this place. I have to put them in front of me, right? I have to get up from my desk and every once in a while say, you know what, I'm going to go do that for you, chum, you know? And the chum is pretty sarcastic because they're not much of a chum to me, right? They're actually kind of irritating and bothersome and not very kind and friendly. But the word also says that I got to love them even though they're not the same as me, right? We got to love our neighbors even though that, you know, the weirdest thought come to me while I was preparing this is even within the church. You know, when we first started coming here, and I come out of a pretty traditional man. I even wore the uniform in the Salvation Army at one time in life, so that's how steeped in religion I can be. And I come here, and you know, the worship team was all either shorts or ripped jeans. And I remember going home and saying to Diane, man, I don't know, I think we're called here. Maybe we can buy some of these kids some pants. Like they got all these holes in their jeans, right? And Diane said, that's the style. What's the matter with you? And I didn't know. And I have a bit of a, you know, at first I had a bit of a wrestling match with that. I was birthed in the church place of you dress like you're going to see the king. You ever heard that, right, Mark? You've heard that one? He's old enough to know that one. You know, we used to be told you go to church, you got to be dressed to like you're going to visit the king. Would you dress that way if you were going to go see the queen or whatever? And, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd get a suit. And funny, but, you know, sometimes we get that going, right? That's how we think even. We don't love one another because, well, you're not quite the same. And, you know, Elijah and the bears, that's always a good one, right? The young and the old. You call out the bears, you know, that sort of thing. Anyways, my point being, that God has initiated within me, especially in the workplace, but also I'm trying to move this over into every aspect of my life, of this place of loving people and honoring them and preferring them. Yeah. Like moving ahead, not being so easily offended. Like it's amazing too, you know, as soon as you do this, as soon as you say, okay, God, I'm in. It's like, wow. They're just like, they're all over you with stuff that's offensive. You know what I mean? And you know, it is. It's like I'm being tested, you know, on a daily basis. I got two calls at home and, you know, we're union guys. So, you know, call me at home. I want to charge you a 3-hour call in because he made a phone call. And there were goofy things too. Like the one guy said he was looking for a part. And I said, well, did you look on the little cart where we put, you know, there's numbers and the part goes there? Oh, I didn't think of that. And my first reaction was going to be, you know, like, you know, you doofus, like, you know, and I had to step back and say, you know, I'm going to prefer, and I'm going to say, it's all right. You didn't, you know, interrupt. I was having a nap, you know, and but it's okay, you know. Anyways, yeah, my time's up. Listen, I just, I actually had a word that went beyond that, but yeah. I just going to close and say that, you know, this is something that I'm walking out and I'm not doing it perfectly. And I wanted to go further in this, kind of show you what a lot of this stuff was. But for the sake of time and with the way we've had testimony happen and just the hand of God that's touching us in many different ways, I just want to throw my part into that. That, you know, God cares deeply about us. And he cares deeply about the little 12-year-old boy within you. You know, I was always taught that sometimes we get stuck. Something happens to you at 12 and you don't get it dealt with. Emotionally, you never grow past 12. If you're young, man, deal with this. Don't be the 63-year-old man that all of a sudden a 12-year-old boy jumps out and needs to get made well. But I do want to tell you that it's happened. And I woke up the day after this thing feeling like a different person. And I've walked in it, you know, for a couple of weeks, and I believe it's forever. That there's issues of self-esteem, issues of my own, you know, self-worth and desire. You know, this actually isn't very hard for me to prefer others. I'm finding it quite easy. I've given it to God, and I'm finding it very easy. And that's not an easy thing for me or for most of us. That's why I said the mandate's very difficult. And you can hear this and say, well, yeah, you love everybody and, you know, prefer everybody. And that's just way too hard. Well, you know, in Philippians 2:5-8, you should read that all about how Jesus gave up his place as God to come and die on a cross for us who were far beyond the honor of having that happen. And there's different places in the Bible. God did that with, or Jesus did that with the disciples and the washing of the feet. They didn't deserve to have their feet washed, right? Like, not by Jesus anyways. That was the lowest person. And he honored them, even in a place where he knew that he'd be betrayed. The rich young ruler came to him and said, what do I got to do to inherit an eternal life? And Jesus spoke to him and told him, and the word says that even though he knew that he'd be rejected, the word says that Jesus looked at the young ruler and he loved him. How easy is it when you know you're going to get rejected to say, I'm still going to love this guy? You know, but that's what God does, and that's the mandate. We focus our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on him, and I just believe that those things can be fruit in our life. So, Father, we just thank you for testimony of what you're doing in this house and throughout the community. Father, we just thank you for healing and for deliverance, for ministries that go far beyond anything that our eye could see. Father, I thank you for what you're birthing in this house, even through these things. I thank you for community. I thank you for how Micah and Marichal shared and how this community held them up and walked through it with them. And just we've seen, again, fruit and ministry. Father, I just bless you, and I thank you for that, what you're doing in this house on this day, and that you continue in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So